going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back, everyone. Day number 3 of the 2025 NFL Draft is, of course, continuing. It's never going to end. We'll never forget that. We are
it's never
forever.
Going to end.
Hour yes. number 37.
The read really should be. It's not continuous coverage. It's never ending coverage.
It's never ending. It's never ending.
We're actually going to be here, and like Jeremy and Joe are going to get here on Monday, and we will still be here.
Well, because the Bills haven't picked yet.
Unintentional sports
thunder. Unintentional for the draft. Sports thunder.
The Bills have not picked yet. We will stay
Jeez.
Forever. Oh man.
There's rumor has it there's a fourth day no one said anything about. We're gonna keep it right here for it.
There we go. We are 12 picks away from the Bills.
So close yet so far.
So these picks start to fly off the board. They are very, very quick. We are expecting to hear from Bills general manager Brandon Bean. Once the Bills complete their draft, he's been very quick the last 2 days, so hopefully we won't have to wait too long for that. But before we do that, we have had a lot of picks over the last few hours or so. And if you did miss it earlier today, Bills defensive tackle Deion Walker spoke to the media as well. It's very early in the day, so he could have missed it. And so we'll listen back to his meeting with the media right here.
Hey, Deion, John Scott from the NBC affiliate here in Buffalo. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What was your interactions like with the Bills throughout the pre-draft process?
I would say it was nothing but great things. I feel like I've grown a real relationship with Coach West, Coach Babich, and Coach Nielsen. I can say nothing but great things about the whole Buffalo Bills staff.
And clearly – there's a Kentucky train coming here with Ray Davis, then Max Hairston, and now you. What have your conversations been like with Max maybe since even being selected, and Ray after spending his first year here?
Man, Max, I know Max told me as soon as he got drafted, he was standing on the table for me. But, nothing but great guys. I call Max and Ray are like my brothers. A band of brothers, you stick together, can't nobody stop you, so. It's just great to be back teammates with them guys.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Hey, Alex Brasky, Batavia Daily News. Congratulations. This team had a need at the defensive tackle entering the draft. They've now taken a couple of them. What do you feel you can bring to the table in terms of helping them rework that group?
I'm just going to come in every day. With my head down, ready to work, I'm just going to try and pour as much as I can, learn as much as I can from the vets and, do whatever I can for the team, no matter what.
And you were a 2-time team captain at Kentucky. What's your leadership style? What do you feel stands out in that regard?
I feel like my leadership style is kind of different. I'm more of a get to know the player, the person, or get to know the person, not the player, just get good relationships with most of the guys on the team, hopefully all of them. And, if they do end up having a bad day, they have been slacking, if some has been happening, you know, be able to have that relationship to be able to come and talk to them and they not take it as disrespect. That's the biggest thing for me.
Thanks. Good luck.
Thank you.
Hi, Deion. Sal Capaccio here, WGR Radio in Buffalo. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Not only a couple of Kentucky players, but now four defenders, all from the SEC. How has playing in that league prepared you, and what do you think about joining so many of your conference mates in Buffalo?
I feel like, hold on, actually raised calling me right now. Hold on. But, you know, the SEC is the toughest conference in college football by far. You know, I feel like the SEC has the most NFL-ready guys. You know, it's just the conference of pure grit. So I feel like that shaped a lot. That shows a lot to NFL teams that, hey, the SEC is where you want to go if you need some big guys, you know. So I feel like having a lot of people coming in from the SEC is a great thing. You know, we're going to have stuff to bond over, except for like T.J. Sanders, you know. South Carolina, we got a big rivalry.
What do you know about Buffalo? Anything about the city itself? Anything about just watching the from afar?
I don't really know that much. I'm excited to learn. I know Ray gonna show me a few things. I do know that Buffalo hates ranch. They love blue cheese. So that's gonna have to be something I gotta get used to, you know.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you something about Buffalo that I think you'll be interested in. We love our bowling up here, and I read that you are an avid bowler. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we got a lot of bowling alleys up here. People love their bowling up in Buffalo, so there you go, man. You're going to fit right in to come up here. Tell me about your bowling background.
Started bowling, like, for real in high school, you know. Everybody used to just go with friends, stuff like that. But me and my friends are all competitive. Like, we are. It's in our heart. So, you know, we are. Do a little $5 on a game, and then we do 20, 30 push-ups, 50 push-ups. All right, if I beat you, you got to ride in the back seat, you know, stuff like that. And then I got my first ball, I want to say, in 2021. And then it was just taking off ever since. You know, I averaged, like, I want to say around a 210, 220. My highest game was like a 289, so.
Wow. Amazing. Well, you fit right in that regard. Congratulations again, and we'll see you up here.
Thank you.
Okay, Deion, Mark Gaughan from the Buffalo News. Congratulations. You are from Detroit. Who's your team growing up?
I didn't really have a team growing up, you know. Okay. Growing up out of high school, this – you know, the NFL has been my dream, you know. And one thing everybody knows about the NFL, you don't know who you're going to get picked by, you know. So in that regard, I've never really tried to have, like, my own team, if you get what I'm trying to say.
Yep. You weighed 331 at the combine. What was your playing weight during the season?
My playing weight was around 345.
Okay. And I read where you found out during the season you had a fracture in a vertebrae. Just tell us about that, and where does that stand?
Yeah, I had a pars defect in my back. It came on before the season, my last season. I didn't know about it until after the season, really until the combine. We didn't really know what it was, but I feel 100% right now. You know, I'm ready to get out there and play.
And you only missed one game in your whole career. Just kind of, you know, what do you, I presume you, you know, take pride in being available. And, you know, what do you think about that?
Yes, sir. You know, I love the game. I love playing football, you know. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that I'm out there playing football, you know, like everybody wants me, you know, no matter what it is, getting more time in with the trainers, cold tub, hot tub, look contrast, it don't matter. If something not broke, I can play, you know?
Okay. Thank you.
No problems.
Hey, Deion, Catherine Fitzgerald from the Buffalo News. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I was wondering first, is there anyone you model your game after, or who would you compare yourself to?
I would compare myself to Kalea. So I try to take a lot of stuff out of his game, and Dexter Lawrence. Those are my main two.
Nice. And then just what was this weekend like for you? Like today, who have you been watching with? And what's been going on? Just kind of the atmosphere.
I've been watching with a lot of people, all of my family, my girlfriend, her family, some friends from high school, you know, friends that I grew up with, friends that I've met at Kentucky. You know, everybody's here. The emotions are high. As soon as they heard my name, my mama just started crying, you know. So it just warms my heart that she don't got to worry no more.
That's awesome. Congratulations. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Hi, Dion. Nick Sabato from the Niagara Gazette. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Circling back to your back injury, what was it like kind of playing through that last year?
It was hard. You know, it's anybody with a back injury knows how it feels. You know, there were some days where I could feel 100%, some days where, hey, I could barely get out of bed, you know. Some days where I couldn't even get in my stance, you know. So it was really hard, but we've been working on the little muscles in my back, working my core, stuff like that, trying to alleviate the inflammation in my back, and I feel good now.
What was the rehab for that?
It's just working the little muscles in your core. It's a certain muscle that wraps around from your stomach to your back. It's a lot of doctor word that I don't know, but yeah, just getting that stronger, and that's going to alleviate the stress that's on my spine, basically.
Thanks.
No problem.
Yeah, you mentioned Tyler
Dunn
with Go Long. You mentioned Calais.
You're muted, I think.
Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Tyler Dunn with Go Long. You mentioned Calais Campbell.
Yes, sir.
What do you like about his game? He's been playing forever, and what's the key to kind of maintaining your leverage? There aren't many 6'6", 6'7", you know, interior D linemen. How would you kind of break down your game and how you kind of win at the point of attack?
How would I break down my game and compare it to his, or like what I take from his?
Sure. Yep.
I say using his hands, you know, he is all a 6'7", what, 310, but he has his hands are flawless. His hands been flawless for years now. For the longevity, hey, that's just getting in when everybody else isn't, you know, like that's investing money into your body, you know. But as for like pad level, I'm going to be doing a lot of bear crawling, a lot. Shout out Coach Mark.
Do you have a relationship? Like, do you know him personally?
No, I don't know him. I've talked to him one time. He actually played with my academic advisor with football, Ricky Lumpke. So I talked to him. He was just giving me some tips to do, how to, you know, keep my body up and what to look forward to.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi, Dion. Sorry, I forgot to ask you a question earlier when I was on. Have the Bills told you if they project you to play more the one technique or the three technique?
No, they haven't, you know, but I'm cool with whatever, you know, any way that I can help the team win.
When you went through the draft process, did you get more of that from the teams in general where they feel that – I know you've played both in college, that maybe where you project in the NFL?
No, they just ask me what I can – like, what do I feel best playing at, you know, and my answer has been, I don't care. Just put me on the field. Let me help the team.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
That's all we have for you today, Dion. Thank you for your time and congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That was Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Dion Walker. From earlier today, we thought we would get you that interview as it happened relatively early in the afternoon.
Because they traded up.
Mm-hmm. And with that, a number of picks have gone since we played back that interview. We're actually only five now picks away from the Bills. One of them It's Quinn Ewers going to the Miami Dolphins. Texas quarterback goes to, and I said the Rams, and I actually should have said the Dolphins as well because they fit Shadur, like we mentioned yesterday, and I even think round one as well.
I gotta say, he
could go there.
You get to continue to hate on Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, he goes to a division rival, and there's a—
Congratulations.
Division rival, more like division puppet for the
Bills.
There's
also like a pretty good chance we'll see Ewers early. Tua's health has not been awesome, and it's not just the concussions. He picks up a lot of knocks here and there that causes him to miss games. Ewers could see time early. The problem is, though, you picked up a guy that also gets hurt often.
Hang on. Let's go ahead and not pretend that Quinn Ewers is going to be the immediate backup here.
Who do they have?
Zach Wilson.
Zach—
That's right.
Never mind.
So that means number zero, both of our guys,
we could possibly see. Will Howard?
We could see time. Don't put me in the same baggage with that. Howard.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say that was
I'm excited for like Riley Leonard.
Do they play each other?
Who?
Dolphins and Steelers? Are they ready?
I'm not looking up opponents. I was given an announcement that the schedule would be released on May 14th.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I will be waiting
a long
for
announcement
that,
that delayed waiting, a pick in the first
I'm waiting
round.
For the day after that, because no, Zach, I will not be joining the nightcap for that schedule.
Okay,
release,
that's super selfish of you. Thanks
unless
for that.
I'm told to. Unless I'm directed to. And I might.
There you go.
And I will say, I don't like being here.
But here we are.
This is a sham.
This is a sham.
This is a money-grabbing sham, and I refuse to talk about it.
They play the Steelers. Let's go.
Yes! Will Howard versus Quinn Ewers. This
Watch
is going to
be
crazy.
Good.
In Ireland, Will Howard versus Quinn Ewers.
Go put that matchup across the pond.
It's still going to be the Bills matchup. We'll have to see on
that
one.
Oh, my God.
They are a road opponent. The Steelers are a road opponent. It could absolutely be the Ireland matchup.
Yes. Will Howard in Ireland to open things up. This is fun.
Tez Johnson went to Tampa Bay just now.
Tez Johnson. Oh, man. A name that was brought up in January as a potential guy that maybe we could look at.
He came into the combine at 154 pounds.
Yeah, and then it ran a 4.5. I mean, one of the more deflating combine performances. Because I don't want to say it was bad. Like, it wasn't.
It's not like a 4.5 isn't impressive, but for his size, it's not.
Was he the one that said he was going to break the record?
No, it was Isaiah Bond.
Okay, Isaiah Bond, yeah.
Who will not get drafted and shouldn't.
But Tez Johnson, yes. it was oh no, he's under 160 pounds. Oh no, he didn't run a 4.3. What are we doing here? Tampa, though, also adding another receiver. That room is full. Where does Jalen McMillan play? Didn't they take him just last year?
That's a good question.
I mean, where is he supposed to play?
Honestly, ready? Again, you guys mentioned how Tampa did give Godwin a new contract and all, but you can move on from him.
Yeah, you could move on from him, especially
hey,
if you
Bills,
get a trade
that's
offer.
A good trade offer.
Trade offer if you really
Maybe
want to.
Maybe you can then actually stop having people get mad about the wide receivers.
I will say this, speaking of trades, that's the one thing I'm annoyed by from this draft. The big trade we saw in terms of player movement, Sam Howell.
Yeah.
Where did he go?
Minnesota.
Yeah, nothing crazy.
That's it. It was part of a quick swap of picks. Where's my Trey Hendrickson trade? Where's my George Pickens trade? Come on, guys.
George Pickens.
Come on.
Where were any of those trades? Yeah.
They're gone.
Right. You're
non-existent.
Yeah, you're right.
It is a little disappointing in that facet.
Yeah. There was no player movement when we all were hoping that there would be some.
Just for something to like, oh, that's exciting. That's interesting. That's different. I mean, Trey Hendrickson, every time he talks to the media too, it seems like nothing's going well with Cincinnati in terms of getting a deal done for him. Pickens, I think most people assumed, the idea of him with DK Metcalf in that offense is exciting. There is a feeling there that won't work. And that Pickens might be on the outs, especially after giving a contract extension to DK Metcalf after trading for him.
I mean, Pickens, that'd be a shame if they lost him. I know he's had some ups and downs, but he's a very solid receiver.
He's such a talented wide receiver. Yeah.
You got to crack the code with him, though.
Yeah.
A team has to get it right. And
he has got to go to that right locker room.
Pittsburgh's quarterback situation just, I think, derailed that development. You had Russell Wilson, Justin Fields switching on and off, Kenny Pickett for a short time, like... After post Roethlisberger, when he came in, it was just not great.
Well, and that's the thing too. I wonder, the attitude issues are the attitude issues, but I wonder how much they're like under lock and key, if he did have somebody like Josh Allen throwing the ball or stay in the division, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, like how much does that change when he's like, I don't have Kenny Pickett throwing me the football,
mm-hmm.
or eventually, you know, with Russell Wilson, it worked out just because he was throwing go balls.
Yeah.
And even still, Russell Wilson throws one of the most catchable passes in football. But
right, Malik Nabers is excited.
Yeah. Well, for like 5 minutes. I mean, Jackson Dart's going to take over that spot.
Okay. I saw Jackson Dart's brother, by the way, in a video of him, cleanest dap up with Dable I've ever heard. You see Jackson Dart's brother, you can't tell the difference between the two of them.
Heck yeah, there we
go. I thought Jackson Dart showed up in sweats. I was like, that's diabolical.
That would've been awesome.
And then I saw him walking in with the suit, and I'm like, oh, they're just identical. That's fine.
Yep.
But
good for the brother to be like, this is not for me. I'm going to be comfortable.
Yeah.
this is not my day. I'm just going to tour. I'm going to be comfortable. I'm done.
Not the quarterback a lot of people saw going to the Giants a week ago.
A week ago, right.
Yeah, there was some kind of like.
It was Shador for a long time.
It was Shador because they brought him in on a private mm-hmm. workout and they were doing some I guess, last minute.
Lots of stuff
information
about that
gathering
out.
On him. But now it I would say probably about 2 or 3 days before the draft, it kind of felt like Dart was going to be the second quarterback taken.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, can the Giants get back into the first round to do it? And he'll be a first round pick. They do. They seem excited. We talked a little bit about the Giants either today or yesterday. I think maybe to start today.
Just all blends in your minds.
Yeah,
the continuous coverage of the 2025
never
NFL
ending
draft.
Coverage.
Hour number 47. But
hour number Cuxaqual.
It's just
there's so many hours I don't have real words for them anymore.
But so with them, I think Dable and Shane are really trying to set up that their defense is just going to flat out keep them in games and allow Jackson Dart to develop. They have the guy. You give him as many targets as he needs. You have mm-hmm. Slayton, Nabers, and just kind of figure it out. And if they win 6-7 games, but Dart progresses throughout the year and looks better and you feel good, Dable keeps his job. Shane keeps his job.
They also have reeled in two of the better defensive line prospects in this entire draft class, yeah. Abdul Carter, and then they get Darius Alexander with the first pick of round 3. Like, yeah. That is kind of some sick work.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah.
And then they get Cam Scadaboo, who is just like...
Love the last name.
I'm going to say it, and I'm going to sound like a jerk.
No.
I didn't do it for the memes here. Every uncle at your birthday party loves this pick.
Big Cam Scadaboo fan.
Scadaboo!
I'm telling you, his game against Texas was impressive. It is one of my favorite.
They get Mbau out of Purdue for their offensive line as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've had a really good draft.
Yeah.
Even though I don't love Dart as a prospect, it's the idea.
You almost feel frustrated then if you're a Giants fan that you're sitting there going like, we do this and this is and you can argue it's a desperation pull by two men trying to keep their jobs.
But at the same time,
necessary.
At the same time, not a bad draft haul overall though.
No,
I
agree.
No, they seem to be putting themselves in a solid
desperate
position.
Desperate also would be taking him as soon as humanly possible and being scared of the Saints of doing it at 9.
Oh, right, and taking him at 3 and not Abdul Carter.
Or trading down and
right.
taking him then.
I will also say, and maybe this is not popular, but I've watched the Chicago Bears do it now twice, so I'm kind of burned by it a little bit. I know I've kind of painted a picture of how Dable and Shane can keep their jobs. I think you can't fire Dable this year, even if they go like 4-13.
No.
Because you cannot set up Dart to fail like that, and that's what you're doing, and you have put a first-round pick in him. He does have potential. There is something there, and if you can get 2 years with Dable with him, and I also would say that too, you never let these guys pick their quarterback. They were forced to give, forced to give Daniel Jones a contract extension because they made the playoffs with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you handed them Wish Josh Allen and said, let's give this a try.
Wish Josh Allen.
So I'd love to see Dable get a fair run here.
Holy.
2 years with Jackson Dart, let's see what can happen and go from
Josh
there.
Josh Allen.
It's true, though.
I love
Everyone
it.
Everyone compared
I'm
Daniel
not,
Jones to Josh Allen when he
I'm
got drafted.
Not,
then he takes the Giants to the playoffs and like, oh, my God, the prodigal son returns.
He threw 15 touchdowns,
but
he's there.
Can't even run. He can't even run without tripping.
Oh, like, he's not mad at you for saying it. I'm actually very humored by that.
We're at pick
it's
number.
So mean.
We're at pick number 239. The Dallas Cowboys are up, which means once that pick is in, the Bills are up for the last time. Very excited. Let's go. We are on Sean Dolak. Watch, he has not been taken to this point. We are running out of picks as well. But, I mean, there's still a little bit of
Bills are on
a
the clock.
Run room here.
And the pick is in.
Bills are on the clock.
All right. Instantaneous pick is in.
It should be. At this rate,
go
it
ahead
should
and take
be.
80-year-old receiver Nick Nash, who we cannot get the date of birth from.
This is my favorite thing today.
I'm still perplexed. We couldn't, like, none of us. The three of us looked for one. We couldn't lock it down.
the Bills have taken a wide receiver, Caden Prather, out of Maryland.
Maryland.
Is their final pick of the NFL draft.
Hey, they did it. They took a receiver, everyone.
The caboose. Brandon Bean laughs maniacally as they take the wide receiver, by the way.
By the way, Sean Dolak watch officially now into UFA territory.
At least for the Bills. We'll see if he does get picked by a team here in the seventh round. Yep. But at least for the Bills.
But I'm saying overall still.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of just where we're at.
Yep. All right. So the final pick has come in. It is a wide receiver out of Maryland. Again, Caden Prather. We are going to take a quick timeout here. Hopefully, we will hear from Bills general manager Brandon Bean very shortly. Stick with us. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, and TJ Luckman here on day three of the NFL draft. This is WGR. All right. We have all of the selections for the Buffalo Bills. Their final one, wide receiver out of Maryland, Caden Prather. Some quick measurements on him. 6'4", 204 pounds again out of Maryland, as now really the next thing up for the Bills draft is to hear from the general manager, Brandon Bean. But our coverage of the 2025 draft right here on WGR has been presented by Figo Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. By New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Northtown Automotive Group. Northtown Automotive, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Quilted Squirrel. Great websites, more leads, real growth for your business. Learn more at tqsmarketing.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, TJ Luckman. We've been with you all day, all weekend, really. It's not Dolak. It's not Dolak that their final pick is.
I think it's not Dolak.
I think we were kind of getting to there for a little bit. Now, Derek, as you mentioned, we are somewhat into the UDFA territory, I think, overall for him, but obviously definitively for the Bills as well. I was hoping he would get drafted. He kind of got a little bit of steam there late in the draft process once the UB Pro Day had happened, but clearly not enough, at least up to this point.
Ultimately, it's kind of what the league views him as,
mm-hmm.
and maybe that'll be the case where we go now to general manager Brandon Bean.
You guys are tired of the draft, so you turn it to the NBA? Oh, okay. Oh, boy.
The NBA goes on the seventh.
Which ratings are higher?
Yeah.
Before y'all start with questions, let me just say something real quick. But is everybody ready? Okay, cool. Listen, I just wanted to thank all of our staff, you know.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean. Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
I want to start with our college scouts. Just, it's a long season for those guys. Their season kind of starts in late May and goes through the summer, getting ready to prepare for their fall, and a lot of nights away from their families to do this job. And it's doesn't go unnoticed. And we don't get here and get the guys in front of me and our executive scouts without their work. So I want to start thanking those guys. Brian Gain, Terrence Gray, Matt Bazergan, all of the executive leaders that I have helping me lead this group, did a great job. Our pro scouts, and then our coaches. Our coaches obviously don't jump in until we're getting ready for Indianapolis in these last couple months, but they hit the road for us too. Meeting these guys, Zooming them here late night, weekends, flying to do privates. It's a full team effort to only get X number of guys, how much you learn. And it's fun, though, because it still helps us track these guys once they become professional players. But anyway, I just wanted to start and thank all of them. They help this organization make the best decisions we can with each of these picks. So with that said, I'll turn it over to you guys.
We can start with Deion. You guys make a progressive move up to get him. Where do you see him fitting in? Because it seems like there seems to be a little bit of a differing of opinion in the media world.
What is their opinion? Break it down.
Some people think that he can be one technique. There's some people that don't think he can. He's more of a penetrator. Some people think that he's kind of like a Jordan Phillips, like pass rusher. Like, well, how do you guys feel?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he can – we're not – we try not to, with too many of these positions, just say you're just a nose tackle, you're just a one tech, you're just a three. It's kind of like you like your offensive lineman. You like a center guard or a guard tackle. Flexibility. He can play both for us. I do think he, you know, from a size standpoint, you got Ed here and him here, like from a pairing two guys, but he does provide pass rush inside. So he can do both, and we'll play him all over depending on what situations are. I don't want to peg these guys down. I mean, even talking about TJ last night, I know I said kind of position one is three tech, but he's plenty big and strong, and he's going to get stronger. He can play the one if we need him to do that. So I don't want to get that lost. I know I felt like when I left here, I was telling Derek, like, feels like you guys were, like, wondering, do we have enough size or beef? Like, we only have three techs. Like, we're very confident. Even if we didn't add him, he was still there, and we're just like, man, we got a good grade on this guy. We think he can help us. He played better in 2023 than he did 2024. His 2023 film is very strong.
Do you think his back injury, Brad, I think, is what held him back last year?
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a good medical on him, and you feel confident about that?
No, he failed the physical, but we took – I'm just kidding. Yes, we did all that stuff. Here's what I would say, Sal, in all seriousness. If we were playing a game, he's healthy enough to go play a game. We do want to get that stronger to another level. So we still have time before camp. So I can't tell you that we're going to decide when we get him in here how much we'll practice him between now and camp. Our number one goal is going to be make sure we have him as strong and that back hopefully
to what it was in 23. I don't think it's that far off. And so we're going to kind of take that by – so I'm just giving you a heads up. If we decide to limit him during the spring, that's just to make sure we are making him more ready, more durable, and letting that thing continue to heal. But we feel there's a good prognosis with him, and we feel he'll be full go, ready to play when we get to training camp. Good football players. I'm always looking for the measurables. You always want to look at the card, as we call it, height, weight, speed, and all that. But it starts, Mookie, with good football players. I think he's again. I just mentioned versatility. He's played corner. He's played a little safety. He's done a little nickel. Like, love the versatility that he's got. And so for us, I see him slotting in right now as kind of a safety and a nickel. You know, we'll give him reps at both in the spring, and then determine how much when we get to camp. You know, is it 50-50? Is it, you know, 75-25? But a good DB has played a lot of meaningful football games, and so it won't be too big for him. And I think he's very football smart, which you need to be to play multiple spots. The free agent signees, nothing to do with that, Chris. It was truly the board. I mean, Derek's in there. He can tell you. Until we got to the very end of the draft, it was the highest player on the board. That's what it was. I would say either how we graded him, how we viewed him, but I thought it was a stronger, more depth on the defensive side of this draft. I mean, we talked about that even before the draft, the D-line, and there was some in the secondary. So it truly sometimes is where it is when you're drafting, or you're like, man, I really like this guy. He could help us. Let's go up and get him. We did that a couple of times. But, you know, you're always going to leave a draft, and somebody's going to say, well, why didn't you address this? I couldn't have told you guys quite candidly that we weren't going to draft a receiver until the last pick. Like, there were guys we had on the board – but when we picked, we just took the best player, the highest value that we had graded. Right or wrong, that's how we do all our work, and it makes it easy. You know what I mean? Now, and listen, there's a couple of times, I think Derek and I were talking about it coming down, there was two times in the draft where we were down to a player or two, and it was like, oh, he just went, now we know where we're, you know what I mean? If you set your board right, it takes a lot of the last minute drama on the clock away. And we're truly talking about them as we get within 5, 4, 3, 2 picks. All right, now we're down to, there's two picks left. This is going to be choice one. This is going to be choice two.
There was 3 D linemen in your first 4. How, in the way you rotate up front, how much do you anticipate or envision them pushing for playing time right away?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think that's going to be a fun battle when we get to St. John Fisher and put the pads on. I mean, the spring, we'll get the reps. That's obviously a position that you can only evaluate so much until the helmets and pads are on. But I think there's going to be a lot of competition in there. We've obviously infused a lot of youth, but we got veterans in there as well, and I'm excited.
Coming out of the draft, you're comfortable with its makeup of the wide receiver room?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I think, Jay, we felt very good. I mean, I think people forget, you know, there's always names and things like that. People forget our offense. Again, look at the ranks last year. I don't think we've regressed. Time will tell. You know, this is on the team is on paper, the offense is on paper. But I didn't leave last season on offense going, man, this didn't work. Like, we didn't get the job done. I didn't see us coming up short in games or in the playoffs on the offensive side of the ball. And like I said the other day, best player on the board was a receiver. I promise you, we would have taken him. At the time, that is not how we valued it. And so that's what we did. That's my right or wrong. That's just how I feel like you build a team.
So we're going to move up for Deion. Was that, you kind of said this a little bit earlier, but was that really about, and we can't believe he's on the floor there, and that's why the aggression to get up and get him?
Yeah, I mean, I think with Deion, we grade these guys as scouts. Guys like him especially, we put grades on them before they even start their final season from the year before. We've got eyes on them. We start that process in May. And I had I had a very good grade on him before he ever played a game this year based off of his 2023 film. His 2024 film was a little inconsistent. As the more research you do, you find out he's dealing with a back situation. And so that's where you just go, all right, if we can get this guy back to 2023, he wouldn't be here right now. And so you're trying to find that sweet spot. Yes, we're not going to draft him off of 2023. That's not what we saw. But I don't want to total lose sight. He just turned 21 in March, I believe. This is a young, moldable. He is not anywhere near his ceiling. And so he's a guy you want to get your hands on and see if you can grow and develop this guy. He didn't forget how to play football in a year. And I believe if he had come out a year ago, he would have been in the first round. That's my opinion.
What are some of the things that he needs to develop on that will help him?
Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, just I thought his pad level got a little high this year. Again, the back. But he's got good rush feel. He's very smart. He's very instinctive. He's a big man. I mean, physics shows you that. And so, you guys will see him. He'll fill up this chair a lot more than I do when he's in here. But some of that is just God-given talent. But he's football smart, and that's what we picked up. He's a guy that we had in Indy. First exposure to him, really. He was down at the Senior Bowl a little bit. I was not able to get there and meet him, but then brought him here on a 30 visit. And I feel like that's a young man that knows this year didn't go as well as he thought or hoped. And you're hoping that you get a chip. We do have to make sure he's fully ready to go, as I alluded to Sal's question earlier. But I like his ceiling. I like what we can do. And I thought at that point it made a lot of sense. Yeah, played really good. I mean, the game that I had not graded him, I'll be honest with you. I'm watching that Georgia Tech game that was a thriller. And this dude's all over the tape, standing out, making plays. And so we start talking about him. And our scouts had been in there and done him. And that's when he kind of caught my own eye. And we just talked about him through the process. Brought him in on a 30 visit as well. Unique story with him. But think he's a guy that can block, but has enough athletic ability. He's not a throwaway in the pass game, but probably more of a Y today than an F, if you were saying, but we hope to make him good in both.
There were a lot of fans who thought that you could or should draft a running back based on what's going on with James. Does this say that you didn't draft one that you're comfortable with, at least where that is right now, and the running back room overall?
Yeah, I've been very comfortable with James the whole time. I hope everyone's seen that. Like, we love James, and I call him Jimbo, but we love Jimbo. Nothing has changed. The business is the business. If Jimbo walked through those doors, I'd give him a big hug, and I believe he would do the same. And that's the God's honest truth. I don't let the business affect, like, I understand it. And I think outside world sometimes tries to make things bigger than they are. Social media, I know, adds to that. Jimbo has a big heart. He's a competitive dude. He wants to win, and nothing gives me any concern about Jimbo being ready to play football for the Buffalo Bills this year.
Last
No.
Brandon, this is a little bit more of like a, I guess, a philosophy question, but did your approach change by day of what you were trying to get out of the player? Like, is there a certain point in the draft where, like, hey, we got to hit a single here, as a baseball analogy, or hey, maybe on day three, we're swinging for the fence, and if we miss, it's day three. It's not as big of an asset. Does that have any impact on day one, day two, day three, like what you're trying to get out of?
I mean, day one and day two, and even starting with day three for sure, it's just best player. It's best player and why you put them on the board. And best player, sometimes the guy can already be at his ceiling, but you're like, man, that's still a really good player. Sometimes best player is, man, when we get him here, the way we're going to use him, we really value that. And so they can – we talk about it, high floor, low ceiling, whatever it is, with each player and each prospect. But it's truly just setting our board, Matt, and going with it. Yes, as you get later in the day, you start having the conversation of, are we drafting a guy we 100% know can't make this roster unless three guys get hurt in front of him? Like, you start going, where do we need to fill some holes that we haven't had? But you're still trying to get them close to the value. If not, that's where, you may trade down or trade back up. But, yes, until, on the back end of today, it's go up there and pull the card off the highest player on the board.
Brandon, you say you went by the board, but you went up a couple times to get certain players. Was defense then, since they were defensive guys, how much of a priority was addressing that side of the ball above anything else entering the draft?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we needed to get – I felt when we set the board, the way – where the strengths were compared to some of the, needs, perceived needs, whatever they are, of our roster, I thought that some of those matched. So I felt like there would be good opportunities, and, we set the board that way. You don't know how it's going to fall. I mean, listen, there's a couple of times where you're going that ended up being defense. You're going, it could be an offense, could be a defense here, looking as you're getting close. And it just, you never know. I can tell you 100% it wasn't going into it, hey, we have to get X number of defensive players out of this draft. As I said yesterday, I did think the way the board was stacked, where the strengths of the board were, two of our first three picks would be, I felt pretty good, would land up that we would have a defensive player there that we liked that filled a need as well at the value. We went up to get TJ because we had him higher on our board. And in our minds, if we have him up there, we feel like at least a few other teams are. Everybody grades for their own team, and that filled a need for us. And so we went and said, I always say, like, if you have the ammo, how mad are you going to be if the guy's gone before you get there? I would have been disappointed if he went in front. Now, it happens. There's always guys that go off. You're like, I'd like that guy. But, yeah, that's a long-winded answer, John. But
you've got a basketball team for a defensive line. Is that something you really covet? I mean, obviously Jackson, 6'6", you've already got up in a Saruso, Walker. I mean, is that something you guys have prioritized, or is it just the athletes, the athletes?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. I mean, I think you do. Listen, Dave Gettleman used to always say this, big men allow you to compete. And it resonated with me, and I believe in it. And we've tried. I mean, I know that one year, the draft, we took Rousseau. It was Rousseau and Boogie and Spencer and Tommy Doyle. It was we would have been really good at the YMCA, me and those four. I mean, it's physics is real. It's a grown man's game. We're still grading the football player, though. I'm not just, as I said earlier, taking the card. We're trying, but yes, if it's close skill set wise, you're going to lean to the bigger, longer prospect. If it's close. Yeah, I mean, it's probably not as clear of a picture of what it will look like on game day yet. I mean, even with the free agent moves. I mean, this is our first time with Joey Bosa, Michael Hoyt, Ogunjobi. It has been a lot of changes on the D-line. We still have some familiar faces, Ed, Greg, Daquan, and Solomon will be back, and A.J. Epenesa and some of those guys. But it's also Dwayne Carter. It's also a lot new, and we want it to be deep. We want it to have a variety of skill sets, and we want competition. Like, I want it to be hard as hell to be one of the however many D linemen we keep to get on this 53.
Brandon, where do you see Hancock starting? Is he played a lot of positions in the secondary?
Right? Safety and nickel. Yeah, both. We'll kind of split those up, those reps. Yeah, I mean, you know, we use Cam Lewis like that a little bit, where he's done both. He has played corner, but we're kind of looking more nickel safety. He's played a little bit. He's probably played the least of safety, but we think we've seen enough that he'll play there.
Randy, what about Chase? Because he was telling us on the conference call, some teams talked to him about possibly guard, even though he's 6'8", his arms are shy at 33 inches.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say we're going to start him at tackle, but Chrome always tries to get these guys to go downside. I mean, even Tommy Doyle went in there a little bit before he got hurt. Like, it is harder for those guys. They got to be able to bend from a leverage standpoint. But we do want versatility. So, you know, we'll see if he can, you know, how he looks in there. We'll get him just the reps in the spring. It's not a lot of contact at that point. I think he would have to prove that once we got to the preseason.
14% of your offensive snaps, you went with 6 offensive linemen. Will Spencer Hawes, Jackson Hawes get an opportunity to compete for some of those snaps?
Yeah, I mean, it's early, but we'll throw him in to do everything that he can and how quickly he gets up to speed. In the offense, what he learns, we'll get our hands on him, get his skill set, but we do like what he is, and it's hard, as you know, how guys are used and sometimes in their system to how ours, but you know, there's some things technically he's got to clean up, but he's a very, very smart guy. I mean, no, you're good.
Sorry. To kind of humanize the last couple of days, you know, we talk here every year, cut down day on roster day, you say it's one of the toughest days for you in the profession. This is the opposite side of the coin.
Yeah.
To make these calls. What's it like to be on that phone, letting a guy know that, you know, here's your training?
No, it's awesome. It's fun. It's exciting because, first off, I'm excited, man. Yes, we got this guy. We covet him. We value him. Especially the ones that you've already met through Senior Bowl Combine 30 visit. You already kind of have a little bit of a relationship. But, no, it's so fun, and it's always fun to hear the reaction. Sometimes you can struggle to hear him because the family's going crazy in the background, or, you know, you guys heard Landon last night. He could barely get it. Maxwell was, he was struggling. What a beautiful family he had here. I think you guys got to meet him maybe too. But it's so cool just to hear their stories, see where they're at. Yeah, we're at this place in my hometown. I got, you know, you're asking them who's there, and it's very cool. Much more fun than the day we cut down the 53.
After Deion's selection, Max tweeted out the Kentucky Bills. You now have former, now once again, teammates. Utah, you have a few guys in there. Florida, you traded twice with Chicago in this draft. How much is there to be said for familiarity when it comes to the draft process? It's kind of an inexact science. I'm sure you try to familiarize yourself as best you can. How much is there to be said for that?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just coincidental. It really is. But, yeah, I mean, you definitely talk on Max and Deion's. Both of them were in Indy and then in for 30 visits. So I asked each one of them. They weren't on the same day. I asked each one about the other one. You always want to know what their teammates say about them. Obviously, we had Ray in here, which helped. And, yeah, and Ray and Max were both texting me today about another Wildcat. We didn't get them, but they were pressing me for another one. I was like, slow down.
Dorian Strong?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he does. I do think he has some nickel flex. We'll check that out. But he would be an outside corner for us to start out.
He said he likes playing press man.
Yeah.
And it's what he, like, when you hear that from a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's a guy that loves to get another dude's face and, like, mix it up and feels comfortable. When you do that, you know you're putting yourself in a vulnerable position, because if you whiff at the line or you get in trail, your back's to the ball, and, you know, you got to make sure you don't have ball panic when you get out of phase from an interference standpoint. So it's not easy. It's a good skill set. Not everyone has it, as we know. And, the coaches will get a good feel for him and try and put him in his best position to succeed. Speaking of how the card looks, you know, he's a big, straight line, fast guy. Ronald Curry actually went out and worked a couple of the Maryland guys out, and so RC spoke very highly of him during that, and that made an impression on us of work habits and details. But yeah, his, as I said earlier, when we were talking about size and how the card reads, it looks pretty good. He's got some things to work on, which is, it's just why he's available. We also think with that, he could, you know, one of his ways to compete to make the roster could be to help on special teams as well. Yeah, I mean, I think Hancock, let me look.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drop deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Through here, Hancock, Halls can do a little bit. Dorian Strong did some good things on teams, and Prather. Those guys, I mean, Landon's athletic enough. You know, we've had Epinesa do some, you know, a couple phases for us when he's playing when he wasn't playing his prominent role. So I would think he can pitch in for us as well. Maxwell, we'll see. He can, he's played gunner. He's done those things. It probably, some of that would depend on whether he won the starting job or not.
Are there specific positions you're looking at with this UDFA?
We're trying to build that 90-man out, so we're trying to build it with the best guys that we can from a competitive standpoint. We won't get to 90 right now. We also have the rookie camp. You know, a lot of times we'll sign a couple of those. Hopefully find another Buffalo Joe or Cam Lewis or some of those guys in there. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean. And with that, for the Buffalo Bills, the 2025 NFL draft is in the books.
Our never-ending draft coverage comes to its end.
Derek, you want to run through the Bills class for us?
So, no, we are not going to stick around for when the New England Patriots pick Mr. Irrelevant.
Not a shot. Not a shot.
No. So here's what we're going to do. TJ, if you want to give us a
yes, he's already on it. DJ TJ in the house, baby.
Heroic indeed. TJ giving us the NFL music so that I can go over the Bills draft class one last time here for everybody. Thank you all for listening, by the way.
It's TJ Luckman.
There it is, baby. The Bills at pick 30 in round one on Thursday night select Max Hairston, cornerback out of Kentucky. Defense and athletes, heavy the theme here. In the second round, they trade up aggressively, going to get defensive tackle TJ Sanders from South Carolina. Maybe we have another DJ TJ in the house. We'll see one of these days. Landon Jackson in round three as they move from 62 down to, I do believe that was, do your math.
You got this. You got
pick
this.
Pick 70.
There you go.
Pick 70 was Landon Jackson. Edge rusher, defensive end out of Arkansas. So they went very much into the SEC early on. And guess what? They did it again. Traded up
aggressively. Seventh pick of the fourth round, 109. A pick that they gave up in the trade to get TJ Sanders. They then get back to 109. All it cost them was an extra fifth round pick, pick 169, in order to move up in the fourth round to take Deion Walker, defensive tackle out of Kentucky. Unlike Sanders, Walker is a big boy, 6'7", 331 pounds. That is your one technique assistance and insurance there on the roster. Staying on defense, in the fifth round, they take Jordan Hancock, cornerback out of Ohio State. He is known to be versatile, played nickel, outside, also even safety, and within the box for the national champion Buckeyes. They finally take an offensive player near the end of the fifth round, except it is probably preferably to call him a blocking tight end in Jackson Hawes out of Georgia Tech, where the offensive, where the forward pass goes to die. So Hawes there, probably a Quentin Morris replacement idea or Reggie Gilliam replacement as an H-back potentially as well. Dorian Strong going back to defense in the first pick of the sixth round out of Virginia Tech. Strong, known to be a very sticky man coverage player, and repeating on the Bills, taking a sixth-round corner after they selected a first-round corner within the same draft. Then they finish up with offense on their last two picks. Chase Lunt out of UConn, offensive tackle. Probably projects more as a guard in the NFL, but Lunt is a big boy, 6'8", 304. He does have some short arms. That's probably why he'll end up a guard in the National Football League. But the Bills looking to stack the offensive line there. And then finally, they take a wide receiver. So everyone can go home happy with a little bit of scraps for everybody. Woo. Caden Prather, wide receiver out of Maryland with pick 240 to wrap up our NFL draft never-ending coverage. Finally, coming to its end. We're three picks away from the end of the NFL draft, and that is where we're going to leave it. For Nate Geary, for Sal Capaccio down at One Bills Drive, for our guests, Bruce Nolan and Josh Reed, for Joe Kelly working on everything internet for us for the last 3 days.
Everything's computer.
Everything's computerized. For Zach Jones, I'm Derek Kramer. You have been listening to our coverage of the NFL Draft, which has been presented by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. Brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Northtown Automotive Group. Northtown Automotive, the official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Quilted Squirrel. Great websites, more leads, real growth for your business. Learn more at tqsmarketing.com. Thank you to everyone who has listened. Have a great weekend. Take a break. Go Bills.